Welcome to our podcast. This is Victor Fonov, and I'm the lead pastor here at Whitefields Church. Our focus is to help you grow relationally and spiritually. Enjoy the message.
Alaska is beautiful, but sometimes, especially if you've lived in Alaska long enough, we understand it's a little bit extra special to worship the Lord, especially when you're outside and you're like, what is this? Is this August or is this July? It's so nice and warm, and I just thank God for His faithfulness, His goodness. It has been beautiful. So, Lord, keep you safe as you drive around and go to State Fair. And I know it's just one of those things going to State Fair. It's a little bit challenging because you have to be prepared mentally to stand in long lines, especially on the Buddy Pass Day for parents that know what that is. Only 2 days out of the week, it's like get one kid, the other kid goes for free on a ride. It's pretty awesome. But yeah, just be prepared, you know, just be patient. If you haven't worked out your patience, just go to State Fair, and it's amazing. So, amen. Last week, the title of my message was Space for God's Grace. How many of you have been tested in that? How many of you have been declaring it over yourself, like, I need that space for God's grace in my life, right? Have you ever just been to church and just feel exactly, it's like as if the message is directly being spoken to you? That's what it was for me last week. You're like, Vic, you've been preaching that message. That's right. A lot of times my own message is preached to me, and that's the most effective ones because I'm like, wow, Lord, I need this so much. So today, guess what? There's a word from the Lord for you and me. That's right. Let's make you feel uncomfortable. Turn to your neighbor. There's a word from the Lord for you. Come on, just do it. All across. Get all friendly. Yeah, we're going to heaven. How are we planning to? We're going to be worshiping the Lord all day with together, everybody. We'd be surprised those people that are not even going to make it or make it. I don't know. And that's in our perception. We think someone's not going to make it. And the Lord's like, nope. God's grace for everyone. Amen. So the title of the message is you. So the word is for you. Sometimes God gives me titles. And today, this week, it was just like, Lord, I could not. So this message is for you. Yes, you. Amen. So that's the title. And if it isn't for you, just put it on standby. Because faith fluctuates, okay? Somebody says, oh, I had a pretty good week, Pastor. I think I'm good. I don't need any support. I'm all right. And then you realize like, wow, 3 days later, you're like, wow, I really needed that. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. We're picking up there. And we're going to eventually land 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of the Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Kind of like what you're doing right now. He saw it at the water's edge, two boats. How many boats? Two, right? So he gets to choose which one he gets into, right? He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets, pretty much calling it a day. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. So Simon gets selected. But that phrase right there, the one belonging to Simon, whose name is later changed to Peter, by the way. So if you're confused right now, it's okay. You say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus used Peter's boat, right? We hear that. Well, he did. He's still Simon. But God's not only a way maker. He's not only a game changer. He's not only a chain breaker. He is the name changer. Amen. So verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said, Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. This is getting better. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish. It was like the fish this summer in Alaska, right? And you go, Kenai, it's like, Lord, what a good year. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they singled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they begin to sink. Let me just pray. Father, I pray you would speak to us. Father, it is not my word, it is your word. So, Lord, I just come under complete submission of you, Lord. Surrender. I'm just a conduit, Lord. I pray you speak your word and do what you got to do in our hearts to transform us, to change us, Lord, so we would walk out of here differently. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Now, notice Jesus didn't speak the fish into the water, right? At least not in that moment. It wasn't about Jesus pointing something that wasn't there. It was about him alerting Simon what was there all along from a perspective, right? However, how God does it, I mean, it's phenomenal, but I would bring up a really good point here for that, because there's things that God brings forth in our lives, right? That's why from the beginning, and he's still doing that today, he says he brought forth. Look at Genesis 1:11. This is supporting this idea. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit trees that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. So he didn't speak that something wasn't there. He brought forth what was there. He was speaking forth what he placed. The same thing happens when he's speaking forth. He's speaking forth what he placed within you, because before you were formed in the mother's womb, he already knew you, right? So there's things that are in you that you may not even realize that the Lord has placed in his original purpose for you. Amen? Even the word parent comes from a Latin word, bring forth. How cool is that, right? Parents are bringing forth the child, right? It was within them, the seed was within them, and they're bringing forth, right? In our job, speaking of parenting, is not as parents as to make better versions of ourselves. You know, I don't even want any version of myself. I want the God version that God has for them. Amen? I think what God wants is for parents to partner with God to bring forth what God has placed within them. Amen? So God has been bringing forth in our life some stuff that we didn't want to see. Like God is looking here at Peter and he's like, he's bringing forth that fish, right? That was below the surface, right? God is bringing forth our life. Something lately I noticed, things that we don't want to deal with. God is exposing some things forth to bring forth his greater purpose. The things a lot of times that God is exposing are actually the things that are getting in our way. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us individually in such a unique way. And I just pray that the Lord would speak to you, bring forth what he wants out of you in Jesus' mighty name, right? Let's continue back in the Luke of that story, the fishing story, Luke 5, picking up at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, so which one? Again, both, right? The one who he was before he met Jesus and the one who he can be as he follows him. Simon Peter, right? So Simon Peter is not first and middle name. You know, if you're reading this for the first time, because if you're reading the Bible for the first time, you can get confused. So what is it, right? But the miracle of it was that Jesus saw Peter and Simon before Peter saw Peter and himself, right? So God sees the patient you, the loving you, right? The joyful you, the free you, even if you don't believe it. Even if right now, whatever your age is, be 48, 45, and you're like, I know who I am. God sees a lot deeper things in us than we do. Yeah. That only exposure comes in the presence of God, and he can reveal it to us, because we've established our own theology over how we are. That's just who I am, right? So when Peter sees all this fish in his boat, you'd think he'd be happy, right? But here's what Peter did. When Simon Peter saw this, verse 8, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. It's not what I'd want Jesus to say, probably, right? If you have all your life, you've established who you are, what you need to do. You know, I'd prefer saying, hey, from now on, Jesus, I want you to say, I'm going fishing with you. right? You please tell me all your secret spots. Every fisherman that does. Because a lot of times what we want God to do, we have our perception of how things need to go down, right? So this is kind of an amazing thing to look at it and like, wow. Because we have plans, and I noticed a lot of times when I'm praying, and 99.9% of the time, how I perceive things need to go in my life, especially when it comes to Christ, go opposite direction. And that's where we can get discouraged. But we need to come to realization, we have to submit under Christ. We have to lay down our own agenda of how I think I need to be. This is my calling. This is my ministry. Is when we come to that realization of brokenness, it's like, Lord, I don't know who I am. That perception that Peter is just putting forth right now, right? That's why he says, go away. Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. So Simon right here is aware of his sinfulness, but he's not aware of his Peterness yet. Sorry, I'm a foreigner. I can make up a word once in a while. I'm doing that to make a point here, okay? But he says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You could see that it's trembling. He's scared, right? And I thought about this too. I had to be scared too. Because if he saw what's beneath the waters, I wonder if he can see what's beneath me. And of course he does. This is a eye-opening moment for Peter. He's like, oh my Lord, if I just witness this, I pretty much like, I don't know. I don't know if I can let you close, Lord, right? And I think that's why most of us are scared of God, right? They're still scared to fully surrender because of what deep inside. And the enemy wants us to believe that I need to make myself to a certain standard before I can enter and come to Christ. That's technically trying to do job for Christ. That's his job. My job is surrender. My job is to come under his submission, right? But that's why we're scared. And I think that's why a lot of us pray fake. You ever ask a person to pray over the food? Like, their tone changes. They all of a sudden they start praying King James' language, right? Thou as mighty as God. I prayeth over that nuggets. That's a true story. Like, I've never heard somebody's voice drop so low. Lord, I just want your glory. Your glory alone, Lord. No, you don't. Not yet. Because, seriously, we do these things. I know another person who prays, like, he's super fast. Says whatever is the kid is like, Lord, bless the food, whatever, amen. Like, you just, it's a ritual. You know what I mean? There's no depth to it. So I'm making a point here because there's some things that we do, how we approach God's grace. We show up to worship. We sit in the service. We're like, whatever. I'm speaking for myself. I'm like, I don't like the music was too loud. I didn't like that. What was this? What was that? The drum. Like, we have this perception that we build and we miss the reality that God is in this place. Two or three gathered, one person can be right next to you being filled with the Holy Spirit. Another person is standing there like not getting anything. You know why? Surrender. Again, they're open. God didn't make us robots. He's not going to force himself way into your heart. I got to figure it out, Lord. No thanks. No thanks. I don't need that message. Okay. Leave that before you in the Lord, okay? We have to start where we are. So that's why I applaud Peter for his awareness of how Simon he still is. You know what I mean? And that's a good place to start. His first instincts were not like, that's right, Jesus. You picked the right man. You picked the right boat. You know, I'm going to take you places. We're going to fish and we're going to preach. We're going to do this. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus, you have the right man. I tell you what, you chose the right guy for this job, Jesus. No. You know, he says, I'm a sinful man. Like, he's crushed. Like, just reverence before him, right? I think what's deep inside is saying, Lord, I just don't want you to get too close because you will see what's beneath the surface and I don't want to let you down. I see this sincerity in his heart and it's so beautiful. And
honestly, my own preaching has changed when I realized that I'm always preaching to two views, right? There's a public you and there's a private you. Like, that's the reality. Who we show up in church, how we like to be perceived. There's a Simon within us, which is representing spirit. And there's a Peter within us. Simon that represents the flesh and Peter that represents the spirit, right? So the Peter within us knows deep inside, like, I need to respond. Like, how many times you've been and you're like, the Lord's prompting me and I'm not acting on it. The water is stirring and I'm not jumping in the water. I can see that the Holy Spirit is in this place in this moment. I need to come and lay that down and lay down my addiction for 20 years. Whatever it is, God is able. And we miss the moment, right? The Peter within you wants to praise God. He wants to say, you turn graves into garden. And the sign within us would want to take the garden and turn it into your grave. Like, seriously, like, just like shut it down. Like, don't even think about it. You're being emotional. And we kill something that God is trying to develop within us. I'm telling you, so many times in my own life, I've been to a church service. I've been in the presence of God. But I would look around. I keep my eyes. I'm like, let's see what happens. Who is this person? And I'm missing the moment when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. What attracted me to this text was the contrast that's between Jesus, who knew everything and needed nothing, and Simon Peter, who needed everything but knew nothing. Just what man selects, oftentimes, you know, God rejects, and who God selects, man rejects. You know, like, that who God chooses is beyond our perception, right? Because the reality is this, we can play this game, church game, all day our life. Just show up to church and play this Simon Says. Touch your nose. Simon Says do this. Simon Says go. Vic goes to church. Vic does this. Vic does that. But I'm not transformed. I'm still living in that same sin. I'm still in that bondage and addiction, and I cannot break it because I'm putting a front. Your inner Simon might be telling you something else, you know? You might be leaving here and you're like, yeah, you have a good front up front and stuff like that. But then, like, you know, your inner Simon might be saying, like, cuss him out, you know? Speak your mind. Don't call him back. Whatever, you know? We have excuses for days. That's the reality. I mean, I'm speaking for myself. There's so many times where God is prompting me to do this and I will always have an excuse. There's this premium top shelf excuse. I told my wife yesterday. It just came out of nowhere. But we just say, it's just me. It's just who I am. Right? But that's what Simon says, not what God thinks, right? Simon shouldn't tell us who we get to be, right? Or like, that's just who you are. That's called immaturity. Okay? Christ within you, right, is the hope of glory. Amen. I like self-awareness, and I'm going to touch on this for a while here because we have such a different perception of self-awareness, and I think it's great. I think it's great to brush your teeth. I think it's great to have people tell you, hey, your zipper, you know, is down, whatever. You're talking too loud, or you need a mint, whatever. I love that. I think that's great. You know, that's self-awareness. Awareness is great. But self-awareness can push God's purpose away from our life, especially when the Lord is prompting me to do this, prompting me to let go of something that I've been just enjoying for so many years. And the Lord is like, well, while you're enjoying this, you will never experience the joy and the pleasure that I can offer you. Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Self-awareness, right? To some extent. But this is genuine right here. The you that you knew is not the only you can be, okay? I'm trying to put this perception because I've I've looked so many times in my life where I'm like, I am dealing with the same thing, but I don't know what to do. I think I'm doing it right. And I realized I'm relying on my flesh. And I cannot do it in my own strength. I need the Holy Spirit. Amen? But we have this self-awareness. So it's like, I'll use an example. My breath stinks, so I'm not going to pray for other people, right? That's just an example. Well, address the issue, get a mint, and pray for other people, right? So if we just did what God already told us to do, we'd be all right. Because deep inside, we know what we need to do. And we're just stopping ourselves because from our true freedom, from our true surrender. Amen? I'm excited to meet the me God sees. Because today I can be the church me, right? If I get stuck behind you, going 40 on a Palmarosa highway, you might need timing. You know, like that's... I just don't like plastic preaching, right? It's the reality. Because most sermons in my life that I've heard about this passage, or just overall about Peter, most of them are addressed to Peter, but not enough about Simon, okay? So I have to address the Simon to bring forth Peter. I have to address my flesh to bring forth the spirit that the Lord has placed within me that's wanting that breakthrough in his life. Amen? You know that you have apps on your phone right now that can grow your faith, and you have apps on your phone that will lead you off the cliff. Look in your contacts. You have contacts there that will build your faith, and you probably have contacts there that are like Delilah, that will leave you blind, bald, you know, and just weak. I'm telling you, it's like we have that access at our hands to everything, and it's for us to address the fact that there's a Simon that I need to deal with. There's a flesh that is within me, and it's always going to be there until I take my last breath. But if I don't need to learn, if I don't address that issue, if I don't address Simon, I will never be able to live that full potential that God wants me to live here on earth. It is freedom. It's up to me to decide if I want to, who directs my traffic in my life. Amen? This morning, I'm telling you, like I've been working on this message for some time. And this morning, before I came out here, before I got the mic turned on, my batteries were already dead. I was already like, oh no, this is not it. But that's not going to stop God's purpose for giving that word to you. Because it's not about me. Praise God that Peter Simon had enough sense to obey, right? He says, because you say so, I'll do it. Not at my word, but at Christ's word, right? Doesn't matter how I feel about it. What matters is that I could go off of God's word. And God's word is yes and amen. What he spoke over your life will be fulfilled. He wants to fulfill, but we can slow down the process a lot of times with our own ways of doing things. If you don't remember anything from this message, remember this. Obedience to God's word is the key to your provision in your life. Prosperity? Provision. Provision is you will always have what you need. Is that a prosperity gospel? No. He will provide. Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. He will provide. Absolutely. Amen? But my obedience to his word is trusting him. Trusting the very next step. That's why he says, do not worry about tomorrow. Do live in the present right now. Do not worry about the tomorrow or think about the past. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad for me. This is my daily bread. Today is the fresh manna. Today you must receive it. Where nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Today, open up your heart. Receive this word. Amen? By the way, Jesus didn't need Peter's boat. That's hard to believe sometimes, right? Because we're used to people using you because they want you, right? Only because they need something from you, right? But that's not how God works. Before Jesus got into Peter's boat, he already knew Peter would fall asleep in the garden. Jesus already knew that he'd be praying sweats of drops of blood and stress because he's God. He already knows everything, right? And the moment that he needs most for some word, he says, "Can you not tarry with me for an hour?" He already knew they would fall asleep. He would be left alone. And he still chose to get in that boat. He knew that Peter would deny him, right? And yet Jesus still got in. People think differently. We wouldn't let people come close to us if we knew they would betray us. Come on. If you had a highlight of that person, you're like, oh man, they're cool right now. And then later, if you had an image that they're going to betray you, you would probably wouldn't let them close. But God's kingdom is different. He must see something in me. He must see something in you that he values so much, right? I think this is why Jesus said, "Go away from me. I feel like if I let you close, Jesus, I will let you down," right? Maybe some of us think that way. That's why a lot of us are not stepping into ministry or a lot of things that are called, because we think we're going to achieve a perfect status one of these days. I can totally see Peter saying like, "Hey, Jesus, there's other guys better than me. There's John. He's the guy that's going to lay his head on your, you know, on your shoulder, on your chest at the day when you're about to die, you know, at the communion table. Go to him. He's better. I'll be cutting ears off, Lord, not me. You don't want me, Lord. Lord, I'm snappy. I can't. You know, I can see Peter, all the batters, like, that's why he's falling. He says, get over me, Lord." Like that one sentence alone just brought so much forth revelation in my life. I'm like, wow, Lord. Praise God that Jesus got in anyway, right? Fully knowing what Peter is going to do. Fully knowing what Peter thinks. And I'll prove it to you that why Jesus didn't. I like that Reuben mentioned earlier. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything from us. Right? But I'll prove it to you that Jesus didn't need Peter's boat. You'll say, "Look, weren't people crowding him, right? Didn't he get back kind of to the water and he needed to get amplified? There was no microphone during the time, right? He totally needed Peter's boat." No, he didn't. You know why? Because in Matthew 14:25, that's later in Jesus' ministry, it says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out on them walking on the lake." Would you look at that? When you can walk on water, you don't need a boat. It would have made a lot cooler preaching, right? Like the man standing on water preaching the gospel. He's God. He could have. He certainly could, right? It's a lot more effective than sitting on a boat, a man that didn't even catch any fish, right? You know, like perception again. What God sees versus what we see, right? I know it's strange to admit it. It might be hard to see at first, but when you say, "God," but the reality is God doesn't need me. You know, actually when I said that a couple of times, it set me free. Why? Because I thought he needs me. I feel like a burden to serve him, you know, like when he needs me. When I thought that he needed me, I thought, you know, I'm letting him down every time I fall. Not really. He already knew all the sins you're going to commit. And he still loves you, right? You know, he doesn't need me. But you know what he wants? He wants me. Why? I don't know. I will never know. He wants you. He doesn't need you. He wants you. He's a jealous God. He's been pursuing you all your life. Let devil hear that. He wants me. God wants me, right? He's not like some cheap friend who needs me for my gift. It's his gift in the first place, amen? He's the God of the universe, and yet he wants me. I just pondered on that like for like half a day. And I've been pondering that a lot lately. Why me, Lord? What do you see in me? And all I hear is because I love you. He loves me to such an extent that he would give up his only begotten son to die on the cross, to take my shame. And now he's standing at the door of my heart, knocking, saying, hey, do you want to dine? Do you want a fellowship? He literally, what he's saying, he's standing and knocking at the door because he wants all of us. He wants us to welcome him in, but he will never force himself in. That's why a lot of us are still living in addictions. We welcome the Lord into our living room, but there's two bedrooms right there. Lord, please do not touch. Do not go in there. Again, self-awareness can get us so far, right? We need divine guidance from the Holy Spirit. The same God that spoke things into existence wants me. He wants to fellowship with me, right? The one who knit me. He knew me before even I was formed in the mother's womb, Jeremiah says, right? How amazing is that? Jesus is saying, I got into your boat, Vic, knowing exactly what's in your boat. He didn't eeny, meeny, miny, moe into my heart. So before I knew, I already predestined, I knew who you were, right? He knows the number of hair on my head. Just God's greatness is so amazing. And I'm still wondering why. What do you see, God? There must be something huge that he placed within all of us. It's called his purpose. Amen? So we see here that Peter is temporarily Simon, but he is permanently Peter, right? And for those that know, Peter means rock, right? Even though it looks pretty rocky right now at this moment. But God is bringing forth Peter. By the way, do you know this little thing a lot of times? Maybe you hear this, and I do. Maybe you don't. But when you hear forth, the word is going forth, and this voice inside of you says, not me. Like, you're more than conquerors in Christ. You're like, not me. I think the Lord wants to change that today. I think he's going to give us a revelation of who he called us to be. I think the Lord gave me this message for someone that's stuck in Simon. Like, you're still in that rut, right? Because the reality is that Simon never leaves. You just have to tell him where to sit. Okay? Sin is crouching at your door, but you must rule over him. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Where? In you, who you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And what does it say? Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Simon needs to honor what God has placed. God gave us this flesh, according to the scriptures, just to glorify him, right? But we cannot let our flesh drive us from our eternal purpose, right? It's like you can ride Simon, but you can't drive, okay? I want us to embed that. You can stick around, but you can't go so far. You can only go so far, right? You can have the word, but you're not going to have the last word. Because the reality is we're still dealing with the flesh. Like, feed me. Your body speaks to you. God, this flesh speaks to us. It's a good thing to address. Like, hey, this is hurting. I should probably get checked out. Absolutely. Those things are absolutely normal, right? But the reality is this: Simon has baggage and Peter has potential. Simon has problems and Peter has a purpose. Is that clear? All week I've been telling Simon, sit down. Peter needs to guide this boat. I'm telling you, you got to speak to your flesh. David understood that. David, a lot of his psalms say, soul, why are you weary? Why are you troubled? He's talking. There's a battle. There's a continuous battle between the spirit, between our flesh. Amen? And they always contradict each other. And a lot of times they do. That's when you really begin to pursue God. And the Lord says, fast. You want attention? Because we're like, we do this whipping, right? Like, I'm terrible, I'm bad. The Lord's like, you don't even need to do any of that. All you need to do is don't feed your flesh. And your spirit will wake up real quick. It's profound. I'm a sinful man, Peter says. And Jesus is like, that's who you were right before I got into your boat. Because then, when Christ enters, you become the righteousness of God. You, that's right, yes, you, becomes the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So Jesus actually became, he took that sin upon himself, right? So that in him, we might become who? The righteousness of God. Come on. You are the righteousness of God. You are already Peter. God sees that. You are the righteousness of God. You just have to learn how to address Simon within you. You have to learn how to address that flesh within you. Amen? It's like we want so many things in our life. Lord, fill my net. The Lord's like, surrender. Lord, if you could just answer this prayer. The Lord is like, you're seeking something that only I can bring forth, that can satisfy you deep inside. That's the way we look at all the wrong places. It's the temporary flesh satisfaction that ultimately is actually lethal to us. Amen? But he wants to take you from darkness and bring you into his glorious light. Amen? From a sinner to a saint. God really wants to move his people. And this is the season. This is the time. The time is now. God is preparing his bride. What kind of bride is he coming after? Without any kind of blemish. That means like saying, hey, these things, it's time for them to go. It's time for you to address them. Because what happened on the cross was more than a physical act. It was everything that I ever needed. Everything that humanity needed. Amen? And not only that, Jesus gives us new identity. The new is here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. If, right? Anyone is in Christ. Not just anybody. You can be in church. It's like, oh yeah, this is addressed me. But ask yourself, am I in Christ? If anyone is in Christ, he is new creation, right? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In the book of Revelation, he says, he has given us a new name. And it's etched on the stone. He will give it to us on the white stone. I don't want to bring that up, but just look it up. I think it's in the Revelation chapter 21. Because he has already given us a new name. And he has already seated us in the heavenly realm. So that means my life on earth right now, I'm on earth as it is in heaven. I'm beginning to live out my life, my Christian life now. I'm beginning to submit all my flesh under the authority of Christ and say, Lord, you rule. I'm no longer mine. I am yours, right? You're no longer your own. And that realization that it's him who's at the helm of my life is what gives the ability to move forward and see through all the things that are coming against me. After Jesus' resurrection, there's this beautiful dialogue in Matthew 16:15 between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus turns to him and asks, but what about you? He asked Peter, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, not by Simon, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Kingdom of God is at hand. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What a powerful statement, right? Then Jesus says, hey, I need to go to the cross. You know, I'm going to die and, you know, you're going to scatter. You're going to think something's going to happen. Then Peter tries to stop. Jesus says like, hey, you shouldn't do it. Probably not a good idea. That he says, never, Lord, you know, that ain't going to happen to you. Then a minute later, Because we just read verse 19, right? This is ending about what Peter, what Jesus just spoke to Peter. He says, you are the rock upon whom I'm going to build the church. Literally a few minutes later, three verses down, look at this. Jesus says something weird. Matthew 16, 23. Just a few verses. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concern. Oh no, this is going the wrong way now. We're walking backwards from Simon to Peter, now to Satan. Think about this, right? And maybe you're feeling, maybe your life is going backwards. You're like, hey, I thought I was just, I spoke with several people lately that are just very devoted Christians. And they say, I feel like I'm just going through stuff. I feel empty. What is happening? And the enemy likes to catch us in the moments of our desert time. He wants us to stop and say, quit. And that's when the Lord is doing something that we don't even realize. But our flesh is always going to be there, just as it was. He literally just told Peter, you are the rock. And then he just calls him, you are pretty much, get away from me, Satan. Right? I come to realize often that what often feels like drifting is actually sifting. God is sifting Peter, right? There's a blessing in what God sifts out of you. There's a blessing in what God is exposing out of you. That's right. Think about it from a different perspective, right? We're like, oh no, I'm a sinful man. That's right. God is bringing forth. He's exposing things that need to go. So next time you see that, you're experiencing this and you're still dealing with it, I need you to begin to lift up your eyes to the throne, to where your help comes from. He is sifting that out of you. He's saying, hey, there's a reason you're recognizing this now, because I'm sifting you. I need you to let go of that. Amen? So all this, it's almost like a crash course God is giving to Peter in one short moment. And the flesh is right there. Anytime, the moment you make a decision to follow him, the moment you make a decision to read your scripture or pray daily, there will be your flesh. And you have to say, get away from me, Satan. Address the problem, amen? But keep moving forward. You're not stuck where you stopped. You're stuck where you stopped moving. In Luke 22, Jesus looks at Simon, who has been named Peter, but he still is Simon, right? Because he's still flesh. Strong faith has weak moments. It breathes. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. So here Jesus is addressing the testing and all those things, the crisis of faith that we all have. The enemy wants to sift us. He wants us to be crushed, right? But look at verse 32. This is so beautiful. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. But didn't it? Didn't it fail? Didn't he betray Jesus? Even he's the one that says, if everybody denies you, Jesus, not me. Not me. Not Simon. I'm your man. He failed, didn't it? Didn't he is the one that welcomed Jesus into his boat? Isn't that the same guy, right? But yet Jesus says, yet I prayed for you, Simon, that you may not fail, right? That your faith will not fail. How many thank God that have a Savior who will also pray for Simon, who will pray for me in my time of need? How many are thankful for that? God is so gracious, right? You will survive the sifting. You will absolutely survive the sifting. Amen? God is saying, I'm not going to stop this from happening, but I'm going to allow that so you could walk out of that and you will survive it and come out of it on a different angle from what you just been through. Amen? It's like Peter saying, I'm a sinful man, Jesus. Leave me, Jesus. And God is saying, like Jesus saying, no, I won't. It's beyond you, Peter. You know why? Because look at the second part of that verse. And when you have turned back, it doesn't say if you will turn back. It says when. When you have turned back, there's a purpose, Peter, is beyond you. I know you're a sinful way, but he says it's beyond you. He says, when you turn back, what does it say? Strengthen your brothers. A lot of times, oh, I am no good, whatever, Lord. The Lord's like, not only I want you to survive it, I need you to live it, and you will have a purpose, because it's not about you, Vic, because there's other people that are dying. There's other people that are suffering. God gave me this image. We're sitting with a cut hand, and I shared it with prayer team this Wednesday, you know, and there's somebody that's standing on the edge of the cliff. Sorry, I have my hand is cut. I'm healing. No. That's what the kind of perception that the enemy wants us to have to stop from us from ministering to other people. Disciples didn't have it all figured out. They were arguing among themselves. Even in the beginning of time of the building of the church in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas couldn't get along and they parted ways peacefully. It's okay to disagree. It's okay when you don't have it all figured out. But that should not stop you from serving him, from surrendering your life to him. Amen? You will survive it. Not only will you survive this sifting, church, you will serve others. You will strengthen brothers and sisters left and right. That's right. Give God praise for you are going to survive. Come on. Because Jesus is in my boat, amen? The devil has been coming after your kids maybe, after your sleep, after your sanity, after a lot of things. And you can look back in your life. It doesn't take much to realize that the devil is going absolute after everything in my life. After my attention, about the kind of movies I watch, about what kind of music I listen. And you have to be alert and sober-minded. He is like a lion seeking who he can devour. He will take every little thing that he can, every of your little weakness, and turn it into a monster, because he wants to hold you captive. And Jesus wants to set you free. And Jesus knows all of that. And regardless, he's still stepping in your boat, standing, gently knocking at the heart. Thank you, Lord. I will survive. Rain fell, winds blew, right? The streams rose. But the house that was built upon the rock, it stood still. This is where you want to build your foundation, on Christ alone. And you've been wondering right now, maybe you're reflecting, you're like, my children are not serving God. They really went off a deep end. Some of them are struggling with drugs, whatever, alcohol, whatever it is. The Lord sees that. And I think the Holy Spirit is asking, what have you been building on? Your perception of things? Let the Holy Spirit minister to you in this sweet moment right now. You know, when he comes in, he doesn't say, how dare you, right? God is working out something in you. When the enemy comes and says, you're not worthy enough, you're not good enough to come to Christ to serve him, remind him of Philippians 1:6. I'm sure of this, that he who began good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So the only time we're going to be made complete is when Christ returns. But up until that point, I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? In the meantime, there's God's grace, right? I have the Holy Spirit that will guide me and bring forth Peter out of me. That's why I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. I need to be attentive to him. I must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? But this very last passage in closing, please stay focused, because a lot of times what the Lord does the most is in the very end. And please don't miss this moment. I'm challenging you right now. I want to bring you back to when Peter has just denied Jesus the third time. The Lord just revealed this in such a beautiful way for me. In Luke chapter 22, these two verses, 61 and 62, says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. This is right after denial for the third time. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. and he went outside and wept bitterly. But Peter got up, and I was wondering, as Peter was getting up, what was Jesus seeing? Because Jesus was looking directly at him. He says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And I wondered, what did Jesus think? What did Jesus see when he looked at Simon as he was denying him for the third time? And I don't think Jesus was seeing him as a failure. What a waste. I trusted you, and out of all the people, Peter, you failed me. I told you that I will build my church. I wonder what was going through Jesus' mind. I don't think it was any of those. I think when Jesus was looking at Peter as he was getting up to leave, I think he was seeing him getting up in Acts 2:14 to preach to the multitudes. I think the Lord is asking, will you get up before me? Like, will you, what will you do? Right? But the realization comes when we understand that God has purpose for me. Yes, you. Right? I hear the Holy Spirit say today, just close your eyes across this room right now. Let down your nets. Let down your nets. He wants to fill them. He really wants to give you what the world cannot offer. Nothing can offer. No entertainment, no drug, no anything can offer what the Lord can give, right? Let down your weakness so he can become your strength. Let down your sin so you can become his righteousness. And who does God choose to reveal himself? You. Yes, you. As your eyes are closed, I want to read this over you, and I want you to really receive this word. Colossians 1:27. To them, who's that to you? To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ where? In you. The hope of glory. He's the hope of glory. Holy Spirit, we come before you right now. We are surrendered. We've been doing this life alone, or thought we were doing it with you, but really we were just putting a bumper sticker of your approval on something we were doing. The way we were parenting, the way we loved our spouse, the way we loved our neighbors, the way we approached people that wronged us. Just come to surrender. You came here for one perception, maybe you didn't expect, to at the same time get hit and at the same time feel so much love. I can testify, church. The older I get, I'm 39 years old. I just turned 39, but the older I get, the more I realize how little I know the depth of God's love for me. So Lord, we just come before you right now. We give it all to you. We surrender everything before you, Lord. We are opening every door. Thank you, Lord, that when you were looking at us betraying you, Lord, you also saw us ministering to other people. You also saw us carrying the word of God to the ends of the earth because we are your disciples, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word was sent forth. Not in my eloquence, Lord, but it's in your power, Lord Jesus. The power that crushes the enemy's plan. The power that crushes addictions. The power that crushes every form of perversion. The Lord sees all of that and he's speaking to you directly. And he says, yep, I still love you. Will you let me in your boat? Will you obey at my command to let down your nets? Who, me, Jesus? Yes. Yes, you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just enjoy this sweet moment with the Lord. I'm not going to ask for you to come forward. I mean, you can afterwards, after our service is almost done. Just take this moment in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There's things that he's highlighting right now, as he has been. He's sifting for a purpose. He's telling you that this week you've had this, you fell a couple of times, you knew it. It's because he's pointing out to you that you need him in order to overcome. And finally, maybe when you hear you are more than conquerors in Christ, it will finally make sense. Because, Lord Jesus, you have revealed to me who I am in you. I am the righteousness of God. And you have revealed every mystery for me. For what? What did I do? Nothing. Didn't do anything to deserve this, Lord, but I thank you for your love and your sweet presence in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We worship you. You can have it all, Lord Jesus. You can have it all. Lord, as we leave this place, Father, I pray that that word that was given, it's planted in the deepest part of our heart, in every room of our place, and everything within us, Lord. That, Lord, when we live, wake up every day, we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all, not some, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our message. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, please visit whitefieldsalaska.com. Thank you.